Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to the August 28th, 2025 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in, and witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of the Savannah ZBA are final. Challenges to the decisions of this board must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise-making devices, please turn them off at this time. If you will, stand with me and join me in the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we just thank you for a beautiful morning here. Thank you for the privilege of living here in this city. Lord, I pray and ask you to give us wisdom to conduct the business of this city today. Help us to make right decisions. And Lord, just bless this town and the people who live here, every marriage and every family. In Jesus' name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If you are going to speak or give testimony here today, if you will, please stand. If you're at home, going to tune in online, please do this at home. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth.
I solemnly swear to tell the truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. Okay, we have an item requested to be removed from the final agenda. It's 207 West 43rd Street, variances to rear yard setback for ADU and minimum separation between primary dwelling and ADU, 25-003908. You'll hear a motion to remove this from final agenda.
Motion.
All right, motion made by Mr. Plunk, seconded by Mr. Condon. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and that item will be removed. There is an item requested to be withdrawn completely, 2203 and 2207 Abercorn Street, variance to required buffer, 25-003893. Do I hear a motion for this to be withdrawn?
So moved.
Motion. Right.
Moved by motion made by Mr. Plunk, seconded by Mr. Condon. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and this item will be withdrawn. Next, we have the approval of the minutes from the June 26, 2025 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Plunk.
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the minutes are approved. Need a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you.
Motion to approve the final agenda.
All right, motion by Mr. Plunk to approve the final agenda, seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the final agenda is approved. First item we're going to hear is 303 West 34th Street. Variance to side yard setback and maximum square footage for ADU, 25-003861.
Good morning, so Chair, members of the board, everyone present, Chair. So, the petitioner's request, this is Rohan, I'm a planner from the MPC. The petitioner's request is primarily two variances associated with the construction of an ADU. And the first one is to exceed the 40% footprint limit to a request of 58%. And second is a relief for eaves or roof overhang setback from 3 feet to 2 feet. And there was a third original request for a height increase of the ADU, but staff was able to communicate with the petitioner and that's no longer a request. So let me establish the location. 303 West 34th. And you can see that this was heard yesterday at the HPC meeting as well. And the decision was such. The HPC does hereby continue the request to construct an ADU with variances for the property located at 303 West 34th to a date not later than October 22nd. There are some things that are yet to be addressed. First is to consider design revisions that would allow to reduce the need for the two variances, to provide scaled drawings that accurately reflect the request, and to provide information regarding materials and to resolve any other issues and variances. These are the ones that are relevant for us. And there's one thing that staff found out at yesterday's meeting. It is that the proposed staircase is encroaching into the setback, and there is zero lot variance that is not yet advertised. So that has come to notice. So here are a couple of pictures of the site. The proposed ADU is a two-story structure at the rear of the lot, and proposed footprint is 760 square feet. Permitted footprint that is 40% of the 1306 square feet of the main primary residence is 522 square feet. So the difference is nearly 238, which is the variance that is requested. And the staircase of the ADU encroaches into the side setback and leads to a zero lot land variance. So here we can see the site plan that was sent to us, and the part that is highlighted is where the proposed staircase for the ADU is encroaching. Here are the elevations of the ADU. It's a two-story addition. And regarding the setback request, the overhang maintains a 2-foot clearance from the property line, and to ensure, and the staff finds it relevant for the petitioner to ensure there is no effect on the adjacent property, be it in terms of rainwater or needing to add a gutter. And the two-story structure, the lot coverage coming to that is requested to be 58. We have been in conversation with the petitioner, and they have been proactive in terms of redesigning and readapting to the requirements. And I believe the petitioner will be talking to this effect, and it is updated to be an 8%. But we, the staff has worked with the information that was given to us while working on the report, and we have attached the petitioner's presentation for them to pitch this to the board. Staff has found that there is no site hardship for the 40%, because even 40% is 522 square feet, which is not considered a hardship. And the lane access is regular, is available, and the lot size is regular. And considering it is two stories, there is enough design flexibility according to the staff. And it also overwhelms the proportions of the ADU scales expected in the streetcar historic district. So staff finds that there is no hardship per se, and hence the recommendation sits at approving the request for relief for eaves or roof overhang setback from 3 feet to 2 feet with the following condition, that is to install gutters to divert runoff from the adjoining properties. And additionally, MPC staff recommends denial of the request to exceed the maximum ADU footprint from 40%, that is 522 square feet of the principal structure, to 58% or 757 square feet, as no hardship exists and a compliant structure is feasible.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions for staff? Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Thank you.
Question for you. So if we approve this today, they still have to come back, yeah?
This will have to come back as a separate variance. It will have to come back anyway for the setback.
And the stairs that are coming
staircase, down. Yeah.
If they come back, do they have to apply again?
Yes.
A separate application?
I believe they will have to apply again as a separate application.
Do you want to address that, Edwin?
They may be allowed to amend their application. The city does typically permit multiple variances on a single application. So they could likely amend, but they would need to be advertised completely.
I'm wondering if we're premature here today. It does seem as though there's a number of issues that need to be addressed by the historic review board folks. And in addition to that, because of this amendment, we might be able to get it all straightened out at the next meeting rather than they're going to have to come back again anyway. So why not address all of it at the same time?
Quite possibly. I personally was not present, but we do have Caitlin Chamberlain, who's the Historic Preservation Director, to speak to the extent to which that board is waiting for this board's opinion on the variances that are requested. Caitlin may wish to give a few words.
Please. Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Caitlin.
Good morning. I just wanted to let you know, yesterday's meeting, our board, as you saw with the conditions, there's a lot of things related to our design standards, but they, instead of continuing to September's meeting, they put it out to October just so that there was a little time to resolve anything that may have to come back, depending on what happened today, just to give a little flexibility with what happens and just what the petitioner may or may not be amenable to changing, because it sounds like they may be amenable to making some changes, or maybe the variances won't be as great or needed at all.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions for staff?
I also do want to address the fact that the petitioner has been communicating and it has expressed intent to even address the staircase issue in today's presentation of the petitioner, but I have informed that the report will not be informed by it, but they're free to talk to the board about it.
Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward, state your name for the record?
Morning.
Good morning.
Chair, board, staff, Stan Perkins, just here as the agent for Mr. Copelson. So sure, spoke with Caitlin yesterday, and if y'all ever seen me before, we love to comply. So I'm willing to comply. So I think the main things they were looking at was just getting a list of the materials we're going to use, stained staircase, another lighting spec, something of that nature. Is the floor plan on here at all, Rohan? Can you drive? Right. So we are going to relocate that staircase. So we won't have to worry about really addressing that or, applying for another variance for that. We're going to relocate it. I'll show you. I'm looking for the floor plan. We have that. Thank you. So currently, here's that stick. Yep. So here's the staircase currently that's encroaching into that setback. So we're going to take that and we're just going to redesign it and put it back here on the rear side, right here. We could call it the front side. We're just going to relocate that door and the staircase back here that we don't have that encroachment issue there. And as far as the overhang, whatever they decide, whatever you all decide, we want to bring it into 6 inches. But if we're going to leave it out there typically at 18 inches and put gutters on it, we'll comply with that as well. The main issue we had here was we were fine at the 40% with the 500 and X amount of square footage. Where we ran into a little issue was with the Historic Preservation Committee. So we've got this garage here, and their maximum width of a garage door is only 12 feet. So typically, even at that 400 square feet, if we had a 16-foot or 18-foot garage door, you're driving straight in and then backing straight out. But here, with this 12-foot door, even with a standard vehicle, I'm not talking about these big SUVs and some of these minivans, standard vehicle, 7 foot wide, 16 foot long here. So if we're looking, how do I zoom in this? Yeah, well, you all can see it though. So right here, when they pull into this garage, even a small vehicle, when you pull in, you're going to have to maneuver to an extent that you're going to have to get over to the right or the left so that the second vehicle has room to enter as well. So if we were back at that 20 foot by 20 foot, 400 square foot range, vehicle 16 foot, when we pull in interior, we've only got about 19 foot. They've got to maneuver over here into one of these corners to clear that path of the driveway of that garage door for the other vehicle to pull in. So kind of the only way to incorporate that up into have that happen was to make it deeper. So they're able to pull in and pull up out of the way to clear that garage door so the other vehicle can get in, because we only got a 12-foot garage door. So we had to incorporate more space. So we weren't really trying to make more room for the ADU, the livable space itself. We were just trying to make the garage functional. So that's why now we've already downsized this overall design. So now we're just requesting the 8%, so from 40 to 48% of variance. But that was the main reason, not necessarily trying to make more livable space. We were just trying to make the garage functional. That's where that additional square footage was required in the garage, not the livable space. Any questions?
Any questions for the applicant? Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Why not put two garage doors in?
I didn't even ask that one. very possible.
You ever seen two that operate in tandem where there's nothing in between them, where it makes one big opening? I haven't either. That's what you're talking about, though, isn't
it? No. I'm saying conventionally put, you know, he's got a 24-foot wide garage. He's able to put two standard garage doors in.
Right.
Side by side with, you know, with the post in the middle to allow him to drive straight in.
Yeah, and then just a little wall in between. That's fine as well. And if that's okay with the historic HPC, we're willing to comply. Yeah. We love to comply.
I think that would make
sense. And they just want to get it done. Sure. Yes, sir. So is that possible, Caitlin? Yeah, so we can, yeah, that's fine as well.
Any other questions? for the applicant?
Everybody? Yeah, so we're going to eliminate the need for the variance for the staircase. If they say, you know, the gutters for the roof overhang, we'll do that as well. And on the garage, in order to incorporate what we need there, we can go with two doors and we can probably even scale it back a little more now. But at 8%, would probably still be if y'all deem that fair enough. Because normally in the garage, we still want to try to have at least a little room for some storage space, whether that's cabinets or shelving or something. And then a walking path once you get out of your vehicle, close the door to get to the door. So we don't necessarily think that 8% is a big ask, but we'll leave that up to the board.
Okay. Thank you. No more questions for applicant?
Thank you
very much, sir. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak concerning this application? Anybody online?
No, sir.
All right, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
May I ask Edward a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Edward, could I ask you a question, please?
Yes, sir.
I seem to recall that there's been some discussion about the idea of this 40% rule. The 40% rule applies to the footprint of a house. So if you have a house that's, let's say, 2,000 square feet, it's 1,000 square feet on the first floor, 1,000 square feet on the second floor, you only get a 400 square foot ADU. But hasn't there been some discussion about changing the rules or having some flexibility? Because it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have 400 square foot ADUs, given that, you know, you've got a 2,000 square foot house in front of it.
Right. Well, the idea of creating consistency was presently with accessory structures that don't contain living quarters. You can have 40% based on the full both floors. So imagine this is you're looking at your house. You've got both floors totaling the 2,000. It's 40% of both of those floors.
Right.
For an accessory dwelling unit, the definition currently states it is 40% of just the footprint. The modifications to the text that we've been proposing is to make those consistent to say only the footprint. So then it would just be not the 2,000, but the 1,000. Not necessarily to increase the 400. It's at the discretion of this board to determine whether or not, request for relief, you know, should be approved if you deem that the size should exceed 40%.
So if they were going to use the second floor for storage, they wouldn't need a variance. Because they'd be able to put the 2,000
potentially
foot number as their number.
If they're willing to remove living quarters.
No, I'm talking theoretically.
Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah.
Potentially, I don't want to say yes or no, but potentially that would change kind of the outlook simply because it would be held to a different standard that currently would include the entire building, the principal dwelling, the full square footage of the principal.
Okay. So, thank you very much.
Sure.
Any other questions for Edward? All right. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I guess so. On here, it's saying he's asking to 58%, but then he was saying just 8%. So is he now asking to 48%, not 50?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm fine with both of those.
He's good. If we go to the 700 square feet, do anything over and above what is in the maximum size for 800 square feet. So as long as you're keeping within the 70 square feet, you're following the guideline He's asking for 757 square feet, but now that we're fixed.
She wants you to turn your mic on.
I'm sorry. If we stay within 700 square feet, which is the rule for the maximum size of an ADU, he's asking for 757, but I think we've fixed his problem by putting two garage doors on. It allows him to shrink the footprint slightly to get himself into 700 square feet fairly straightforwardly. It seems to make sense to me that if there was no dwelling on the second floor, that they could build it without, because they could, right? Right. Because now we're using 2,000 square feet as the footprint of the house, as opposed to a 1,000 square feet as the footprint of the house, and it would fall back into what we have. So I'd be amenable to, you know, to exceed the maximum ADU footprint.
To 48%?
Yeah, whatever that number is. How many square feet? It's just 700 square feet.
Do what?
How many square feet is 48%?
I was told there'd be no math.
I mean, is it?
That's what we need.
Less than 700?
I think like, Edward's going to address that.
700, which might be more than 48.
Yeah. I think he's got a calculator app going up there.
He's like, you know, take a, you know, take 2 feet off the back of it now because he doesn't need that.
Right.
You know,
the stairs and stuff.
Because you and I figured out the.
Six twenty-six square feet.
So, I'd give him the 700 square feet. I would be amenable to giving him 700 square feet to work with.
All right, I have a motion.
Wait,
if we're ready for one.
No, we're not quite yet. Mr. Ball, do you have anything else you want to say?
No.
All right, we're ready now.
Sorry, Mr. Ball. I would like to motion to approve the request for relief for eaves and roof overhang setback from 3 to 2 feet with one condition, which is to install gutters to divert runoff from adjoining properties. Additionally, I would like to motion to approve the request to extend the maximum ADU footprint to 700 square feet.
Okay, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to accept staff's recommendations or to adopt staff's recommendations on the eaves with the gutters and to approve a variance to allow up to 700 square feet for this particular ADU. Is there a second to the motion?
Second
by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variances are approved with conditions. Next, we're going to hear 771 East Park Avenue. This is an after-the-fact variances to side and rear yard setbacks for a deck and an accessory structure, 25-003776.
Microphone is off. So sorry. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here at MPC. This is a request on behalf of Tom and Faye DeMassimo at 771 East Park Avenue. They are requesting four variances in association with the construction of two accessory structures in their rear yard at this property. Two of the variances in association with a accessory structure. It's a shed, a 96 square foot shed, and the other one is a deck. And the rear and side yard setbacks are at issue for both of those structures. You can see the subject property here on your screen outlined in yellow. This is an approximately 4,142 square foot parcel in the TR3 zoning district. It is a conforming parcel. The dwelling that is situated on that parcel was built in about 1920. And it is about 1,411 square feet. This neighborhood is a National Historic District, but it is not a local listed district. It's also within the East Side neighborhood here in Savannah. So again, this is something that came about in the course of pursuing a building permit. The original accessory structure that the applicant proposed is 96 square feet, so it's under the threshold for requiring a building permit at first. And in the course of constructing both of these structures, it was determined that there were some potential issues. So the
Again, that threshold is 120 square feet. In looking at this, the petitioner is requesting relief. This is exactly as the application came in. So they're asking for relief on the eastern side interior setback to permit the deck to be at 0 feet, where 4 feet would be required, to reduce the rear yard setback of the deck from 3 feet to 0 feet, to reduce the eastern side interior yard setback for the accessory structure from 5 feet to 0 feet, and to reduce that rear yard setback of an accessory structure for from 5 feet to 0 feet. So the request for relief came in at 0 feet. It's our understanding in the course of talking to this petitioner that those numbers may not necessarily be exactly zero, that there is actually some room adjoining this shed. So we can just want to make sure I understand. This is the arch shell parking pad. So the lane, am I correct?
Yes.
Your lane is right here. Okay, so this is your lane. And so the relief that is requested is on this side. Okay, and again, this is the rear. So it's our understanding that the drawing is not necessarily, neither is the quest reflective of a 0 foot side or rear setback. Actually, 0 foot side setback. It is 0 foot on the rear. There is a little bit of space that was described as enough for a weed eater to get around, but the requests have been made for zero. So the circumstances of the request don't necessarily match what it is that is the actual existing case. I'm explaining this for the purpose of conveying that the relief is not as extreme as zero. It is still less than is required, but it is not quite zero, if that makes
Edward,
sense.
Yes. Some room is not a quantitative metric. What is some room?
I'm going to allow the petitioner to explain what the exact circumstances are. I want to frame the request so that the board can understand. This started off as a DIY project. I believe it probably went a little bit left, and it was noted that some relief was needed. The application came in one way, and ultimately it was discovered that there is a little bit of space between this, simply to say that we have worked with the petitioner to understand, to help them understand what types of mitigating concessions might be made in an effort to address the concerns that staff has had and typically that this board expresses as these types of requests come through. So anyway, the point being, the requests have come in at zero, but it's our understanding that they might not necessarily be exactly zero. One thing that's important to note, I'm not quite sure where the shed wall will fall at the rear, but it's my understanding it is a shed roof. And so the petitioner has already agreed to install a gutter so that there is not runoff, which is something that we typically have with zero side setback and zero rear setback concerns. So that has already been addressed. Also, again, we often talk about maintenance. And so that information was offered to convey that there is a space that would be permissive of some sort of maintenance type activities on that side. So purely for the board's understanding in talking through this particular request with the applicant. Finding that there was no hardship, staff does recommend denial of these requests consistent with our standards and what our standards dictate. However, as I said, we have explained to the petitioner that there are some mitigating proffers that could be made. And so I'm going to allow the petitioner to come forward and explain the specific circumstances of how they got to this point. But I am here to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, I want to tell the board members, before you speak, please state your name, because we're recording this and that's how they get the minutes. And so the guys are having a hard time if you don't state your name. Are there any questions for Mr. Morrow? All right, thank you.
Sure.
Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
My name is Thomas DeMassimo.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You have anything you'd like to say?
Yes. Wish I'd known there was PowerPoint. I'm going to give you some photos so that you can look at it. I don't have enough ink to provide one for everybody, but and they are in an order, which I will go through. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come down and explain how I made mistakes, which caused me to be here today. I request your consideration for ways we can ameliorate the problem and can proceed, since we started with certain considerations and then issues cause us to have to stop. This is a DIY project that came about because we're trying to deal with a part of the yard that is over, you know, is covered by a massive oak tree, which causes it difficulty with grass and other issues. And just also to enhance the quality of life, we hold a neighborhood get together almost every month, and you know, this is a way of extending that activity to the backyard, to a large part of the backyard, so that we could also get back the part of the yard where we're supposed to be able to park cars. We can't park cars there because we have all the lawn furniture out there, and the deck was going to solve that issue. I came up with the idea of a floating deck because it was something I'd seen other people do, and I thought I could easily do it myself. And what I found out first was, before I got there, there were stuff buried under the yard. If you look at the first picture I gave you, somebody had built a fire pit. Somebody had had a garage back there. And what those two pictures shows is half the fire pit, which I had to remove so that I could put up an arbor for honeysuckle. And then the other one is a foundation for what was used to be a garage. There were three of those. You'll see there's a line that the cement is thrown off the side. I had to dig that out. And there were three of those buried under the sod that the developer or flipper just covered over when he sold the property. So once I dug that out, you know, a lot of issues were solved just by that and allowed us to go forward with construction. And when I said dig it out, I'm talking shovel. You know, no power tools. The shed is a consideration to the future where most of these tools are power tools. I have a little plastic shed in the corner of the property that doesn't hold all the tools. If you were to go out there now, you'll see that certain things are left outside because I just can't fit it all in there. And some of these electric things have to be inside for the afternoon rain showers we traditionally have. So having a shed and having one big enough and strong enough to put these things into it is a prime consideration. When I started building the floating deck, I didn't know there was a requirement for a floating deck. You see advertised all the time, floating decks. There's a place up in North Georgia where we lived before we came here in 2018 that advertises that you don't need a permit for a floating deck up to 440 square feet. Now, the problem with that is they've adopted some rules, I think, since that was posted. And I was thinking, oh, you know, it's not even close to that. And I didn't know that it had dropped down to a 200 square foot, and it actually is over 330 square feet the deck would be right now. We're asking for the deck to remain in place as the footing and the framing are already completed and the cost to remove it. Along with that, there are several pictures that begin with the property line peg, which was covered by rubble when the guy came down to take pictures on site. So he couldn't find that peg, and it's in the second picture there. It's got a big arrow pointing to it. And you can see that it is to the right of my fence, just to the left of my neighbor's fence. And you also see, as we go through the pictures, there's all sorts of stuff there. There is a concrete block, whatever, that extends the length of the property up to the midpoint or to the back of the house, which I don't know if that was a wall. I don't know if that was part of the garage. I don't know what it is, but my neighbor, who is older than I am, she doesn't want any part of it. In fact, I have to go out all the time to eliminate the weeds and stuff in between the property because stuff grows. So if I then tried to make a right angle corner, because whenever you increase a picture digitally, you change the perspective on it. So you can make things look closer. You can make things look further away. And I didn't want to do that. So what I did was I put down a 3-foot right angle, and that should be the second, the third picture there, which can show you the relative distance from the peg to my property. The fence on my property is within that 3 feet. Now, I'm not saying this is 100% accurate either. I don't have a laser designator. If I did, I wouldn't have been out there with my tape measure on the ground. So, the next picture shows the location of the shed, which is inside the fence line. What it can't show you is the distance between the fence and the shed. And the point of all this is that here's the peg, here's the fence, here's the shed. There is a distance. And like I said, when the guy came out, he assumed that the fence was on the property line, which it's not, because one of the things I know growing up where I grew up in New York, you don't put anything that you value close to or adjacent to somebody else's property, because they can assume that that fence wall is theirs. And since I'm paying for it, you know, I don't want somebody messing with it. So didn't know my neighbors. She wouldn't mess with it. In fact, I've had to fix her fence several times because of the weeds that grow back there. It was pulling it down, which I'm glad to do, because since a couple of years ago, I got nothing else to do. This is always getting out of the house and doing something is always better than nothing. So that's why it was suggested to us to request a zero. It is not zero. But what exactly it is inside the 3 feet, you know, a surveyor would have to do. We had the surveying done, because when we bought the property, Savannah didn't require a survey of the property before purchase. We had to have the survey done when we built the porch on the back of the house. We also had to have architectural drawings. So I thought I was going to get away with a lot of stuff because, oh, it's under the square footage for the shed, and it's just a floating deck. It's not an above ground deck. I mean, it's, you know, inches above the ground. Shed was within the 120 square foot maximum. So it didn't require a permit, which I, you know, DIYer, I thought meant I could put it where I wanted. Not a consideration for me, and, you know, I am wrong. When we found out that things were wrong after we had put the footings in and put the framing in for the deck and built the structure for the shed, we stopped. And we've been stopped for over 30 days, which was good, because that was when it was 100 and really hot. And then it started raining. So I don't know how much work we would have got done then. And we immediately filed for permits. And that's when we started being confronted with the reality and then the fact that, well, are we inside the property and how far, which we are. We have letters of support from our neighbors on both sides. One of the properties is probably in legal litigation. I guess it's redundant. But the mother, Starla, died too young, and her daughter lives in where Georgia State is, and she, Statesboro, and she goes back and forth, a lot of which has to do with her church activities, and she's on board with it, and one of the properties behind us is a rental. And if I could find out the name of the property owner, I would like to talk to them about how their tenants and the people they hire do not maintain their trash. That's nothing to do today, but I can tell you what the issue is today.
I feel like we might be wandering a little bit.
Yes, I will do that. I used to teach school, so. We have those letters of support in there as well. to the staff report, I don't, you know, there's a lot of things I don't understand, so I didn't address, but there are a couple points I want to make to some of these things. It is not injurious to the neighborhood, as some other things in the neighborhood actually are, if you were to actually drive down the lane. It's not detrimental to public health, safety, or welfare. Item 8B, special circumstances. Get a lot of rain off the two primary structures that goes into the backyard and in the side yard. And one of the things that having to dig out all that rock is removed literally dams that keeps the water up in the yard. But it drains better than that. But there's, you know, there's a lot of water coming in there. And that's why we wanted the floating deck, which is, you know, under 8B is a special circumstance as to why we did what we did. The design was directed by this exigency. I'm starting to lose saliva. Because, you know, we wanted to do something, and we wanted to do something that would just last. It was also not done for potentially financial motivation, which is, you know, it's like baseball cards. You don't, a baseball card is not valuable until I find someone to buy it from me. And that's why none of them are worth $1 million. Item 8C, rights commonly enjoyed by others. If you drive around, you'll see all sorts of backyard structures that impinge upon the neighbor. That's just a fact. And that's people who didn't do the right thing by trying to get permits, even if after the fact. And I consider all this to be a reasonable use, not an unreasonable use of a small plot of land. That's why it's going to be a low deck, not a high deck. There's no point in going high. We just want to take a piece of ground that's a mess and conform it. Item 8E, confirming, I don't understand again about special privilege. We're trying to develop our property. We're trying to make it a better place for where we live. Because this is where we're going to live. I was in the military and I've moved around and I'm not going anywhere else. And my wife knows this. She goes without me. But, final, when the design became an issue, I did not advance construction, but self-reported, hoping true faith do the right thing by seeking approval and permits. Before you make any final negative decision, I request continuance for moving the shed. Of course, you know, it's going to be inches that the shed moves, because if you look at that picture, you can see there's an alley between the two fences. There'll be a lot of physical labor to, as I said, move a couple inches. I hope you don't make us move the deck, because those posts are in the ground. And that would not be a good thing. But I thank you for your time and consideration of this matter. Like I said, you know, I hear we were listed as an ADU, which never was a thought. Like I said, for me, it's the tools. I need a place for my tools. And, you know, ADU, that's a whole different issue. But we were listed initially as that. I don't know if the staff reported based on that. I know they changed it recently, but I don't know if it impacted their report, just like the pictures on the space in between. So I am done with my rambling presentation.
So you said that you're self-reported. How did you get here today? How did you figure out that this was not in compliance and that you needed to come to see?
Well, my wife was talking to somebody, and they said something to her about these rules, and she found the rules and sent them to me. And I was giving her all sorts of reasons as to why this didn't apply, because you know, the shed doesn't need anything. The shed is too small. It's a low deck. Only high decks need that, because you have stairs and They have to have railings and all that stuff. This is just literally this high off the ground. But once, you know, she told me, no, you're wrong, I came down and filed for a permit. And in discussion with the staff over there, it became what we have right now.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner?
Tom DeMassimo, right?
Yes.
Your wife is chief of planning for the city. Is that correct? Faye DeMassimo?
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Say your name for the record.
Well, Stephen Plunk, sorry.
But she's not in construction.
Any other questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Nobody online either?
No, sir.
All right. Well, we can enter into board discussion. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I think I'm all right with it. He self-permit, you know, got up here on his own, and so I'm okay with it.
Mrs. Jones?
I don't have anything.
Mr. Turner?
Nope.
Mr. Condon?
As you know, normally I am a zero tolerance on zero lot lines. But in this instance, as I examine these photographs, and you can see that there's definitely space to be able to maintain things, my normal concern has been alleviated by the photographs.
Well, now, this is the property line, correct?
Correct. So the fence sits at about, there's 16 inches on the tape measure right there.
And this is going to stay, it's your understanding that this is staying as is.
Right, because he has a fence. The shed is actually sitting inside the fence. So the shed is inside the fence. Unless it's butted directly to the...
Which should be right around here.
Yeah. Well, even if it's
right
bumped into the fence,
yeah,
it's still at about, let's say, 24 to 28 inches. So he's not very far off. And he does have... It is obvious he does have room to work on, which is what I care about.
Right.
Maintain it.
And rightfully so.
Getting into beef with your neighbors because, you know, your neighbor says, I don't want you in my yard, you know, to work on this.
Well, you have two letters of support.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, just that I think he learned a valuable lesson about listening to his wife's expertise. Yeah.
35 years.
Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No.
All right. This chair will entertain a motion if somebody care to make one.
Motion to approve the petitioner's request.
All right, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to approve all four requested variances. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the requested variances are approved. Next, we're going to hear 602 East 52nd Street, variances to side and rear yard setbacks for ADU, 25-003907.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow again. This is a request by Josh and Amy Lind for relief from the side and rear yard setbacks in the RSF 6 zoning district. The petitioners are requesting this relief in association with proposed demolition and new construction or substantial demolition and modification of an existing non-contributing rear yard accessory structure for this property. This is within the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent National Historic Eligible District, but this is not listed and it is not within a local historic district. Historic preservation staff has looked at the structure and determined that it is non-contributing, and so there are no issues with the modifications here. But it is important to note that, again, this is substantial modification and or new construction. So what's there will more or less have the opportunity to be rebuilt as it should. Petitioners are specifically requesting to reduce the western side street yard setback from 10 feet to 3 feet, 8 inches, and this is consistent with the setback required by the RSF 6 zoning district, and also to reduce the rear yard setback from 3 feet to 1 foot. This ADU would be lane adjoining, which requires 3 feet, and so they're requesting to actually have that at 1 foot off of the adjoining lane. You can see this is the lane right here. on this aerial image, and this is Paulson Street. The existing structure in the photo right here that is going to be modified and or reconstructed is right here.
Hey, we're back down. Can you go back down to the pictures? So the ones in the on the other side of the alley, these accessory dwelling or accessory structures, they're on the zero lot line?
Many of them do appear to be on the, the lot line, yeah.
All right, thanks.
Again, it's historic, so much of the construction in this area is going to predate our current regulatory scheme. And we do at times encourage the promotion of the continuation of that development pattern. But wherever there's substantial modification, this particular structure was built in or about 1945, the principal dwelling that is. It's about 2,080 square feet. And again, it was determined by historic staff this is a non-contributing rear yard accessory structure that's proposed to be modified. Again, finding that there was no hardship in association with this request, MPC staff does recommend denial. However, the petitioners are here to give you more details about their proposal and the development pattern that they've researched in the neighborhood. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? All right, thank you. Would the petitioners please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good morning, Chairman, Board, staff. With a special shout out to Sally and Edward and, and Caitlin, who've been really helpful. This is our first time through the process, so we appreciate the folks you have on staff helping us out. My name is Josh Lynn. This is my wife, Amy. We've lived in the neighborhood since 2011. We were on 54th Street. Now we're moving over two streets over to 52nd and genuinely love the character and charm that you all preserved for our neighborhood here. Earlier this year, we sold the house on 54th and purchased the home on the corner of Paulson and 52nd. We're here to request approval for two variances, as you heard, to allow us to replace the carport was built in 1990. The main structure was 1945, and the carport is not doing well. It's deteriorating, and our goal is to put in a two-car garage with a small studio apartment on top. One of the main reasons for us purchasing the house is on our 54th Street house, we had only off-street parking. And if you know, 54th Street floods a lot. And so one of our main interests in this 52nd Street house was to get off-street parking, specifically into a garage, for things like getting groceries and our kids out of the car and things like that. So what you'll see here is our specific request is a 6 foot, 3.5 inch reduction of the 10 feet off the property line on the setback along Paulson Street and a 2 foot reduction of the 3 foot rear setback from the alley. The actual garage is 22 foot by 22 foot. So to achieve the 10 foot separation from the house, this is why we're asking for the variance. The ADU, is under the 25 feet height limit at 24 feet, 2 inches tall and will maintain the required 10 foot separation from the main house. In context of the neighborhood, and Amy will tell you a little bit about this, we went and measured all the neighbors' houses just to see if we were on the right track. And we found out that on 51st Street, 50th Street, and 52nd Street, all the houses, garage, carports, ADUs, and fences are closer to the street than what we're requesting. She can tell you details, but basically they were between 8 feet, 8 inches, and 12 feet, 11 inches from Paulson Street. And then it's a little different on the alleyway. They were between, for the, with our setback and the property line, we're requesting 13 feet, 5 inches and an eighth. So, we're not as close as the rest of the houses. As far as the alleyway, everything's between 17 feet, 1 inch. To 17 feet, 7 inches, and our request is at 17 feet, 3 inches. So our request is consistent with the existing neighborhood patterns of development. In addition, we spoke with traffic engineering at the request of John, and we changed our design plan so that we were entering and exiting from the alleyway. We learned that we're on a collector street, and so we changed the plans in order to be compliant with that. So our plan is to move access away from Paulson into the alleyway, which improves obviously traffic safety and aligns with the city's goals of a collector street. In general, we love our neighborhood, love our house. We're excited to move into this new part of the neighborhood and embrace obviously the historic charm that we're drawn to. Our proposal follows the long established development pattern in the neighborhood. And so we're looking to stay within that and improve functionality and safety. And we request your approval. We also have a letter of support. We didn't prompt from our neighbor who wrote a letter saying that basically the carport is deteriorating and they're excited for us to come in with some new life and developing the garage and ADU. And they sent that to Edward. And so we have a physical sheet of paper with the yellow highlights and the arrows that we'll just tell you in general. You can look through details and ask questions if you want, but Amy will tell you about that.
Yeah. Good morning. So as Josh mentioned, he more or less mapped all this out for you, but I think it's just helpful to actually look at this and see. So between 52nd Street and 50th Street, our house, of course, is on the corner of 52nd and Paulson. Our house happens to currently sit much further away from the street, but all of the other homes, the historical pattern right there that is surrounding us, as Josh mentioned, are all between just actually less than 9 feet and then up to less than 13 feet away from Paulson Street. So what we're requesting is to have our ADU almost 13 and a half feet away from the street, which would actually still be further back than every single home, garage, carport, fence, structure. The only one that is currently sitting further, it is at 13 feet 10 inches, is the one in the top left at 545 East 50th Street. So that would be just a few inches further back than what we're proposing for RDU, but you'll see that every other structure we would be actually further than, but just more or less in line with that historical pattern. And then in terms of the spacing in the alley, the distance between the various structures that you see, so the alley between 52nd and 51st Street, those structures, there is distances of 17 feet 7 inches, 17 feet 3 inches, as close to 17 feet 1 inch, and as Josh, or excuse me, it goes from 17 feet 1 inch, yeah, 17 feet 3 inches, 17 feet 7 inches, and then we are proposing 17 feet 3 inches. So the request to do that, as he mentioned, is really just so that we can maintain also the 10 feet separation between our main house and then that ADU. And the size of the garage we're proposing is actually quite tiny. So we're just wanting to have a functional, just an amount of space to get out of our car, walk in front of it with our kids and our groceries. It's just a modest 22 by 20 foot square size garage. But in order to maintain that 10 foot separation between the main house and the ADU, we're proposing that 2 foot setback towards the alley. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? No one? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Are there any members of the public? Mrs. Wood, would you like to come forward?
Just a minute. Oh, sorry. It's kind of cold. I have to get over here for the mic, I guess.
And I know we all know you, but please state your name for the record when you get up there.
Sorry, you can't see this, but I'll pass it out later. My name is Artis Wood. I am chair of Scenic Chatham. Well, I'm glad to hear that this garage is on a collector street and therefore cannot be having their entrance there. That's something that's certainly for safety. I'm here to speak on something for history and beauty. And we are in Ardsley Park designed the same way as Downtown Landmark Historic District. That is, we have the, and I'll pass this out now. You can take two sheets for each. Let me just show the audience this. This is the wonderful plan of the downtown.
Speaking to the microphone, please.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it moves anyway. This is our downtown plan. And over the years, it can be distorted because people cut into it. And this is what can happen. And I've passed that out to the people here as well. Let's have a look at how it might be. So here might be Paulson and a house and garage, house and a garage. And then these folks might have a tree as well. And some of this. The frame of our neighborhoods is very important. It's the tree lawn, the sidewalk, and then usually some sort of planting or setback. But when people break into this area to make the garage come from the street, it stops the rhythm, the plan, the pattern language of what we have. You're going to take this out and you're going to get rid of the curb, get rid of a sidewalk per se, just put in a lot of concrete and go in here. So I think you see where I'm going. It's very important to preserve this, and I'm delighted that not only for safety, but hopefully for the history and plan of our neighborhoods that are historic, that we continue to bring things to the lane. That's where the ugly stuff goes, and we want to go along to our streets and look around and see greenery. And if you still have 3 feet when you put up the garage with the entrance to the lane, it would be nice to have a little plant, little planting area. Do you have any thoughts, comments?
On the Paulson side, they're not requesting to build to the zero lot line. They're still going to have a 3-foot, 8-inch setback.
That's what I'm saying. So there'd be room for a little planting there to continue the green of the streetscape.
So are you in favor of their current proposal?
Yes, I'm delighted that that the entrance will now be at the lane, and I encourage you to require that of anything that comes before you. Let's get rid of all these curb cuts. What was that?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Condon, for his question. We appreciate your presentation, Mrs. Wood.
You're welcome.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak? Would y'all like to respond to public comment?
Appreciate the.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, then we will enter into board discussion.
I was really confused about her presentation.
Well, this made it look like it was in favor, but I just assumed she was in opposition. That's what it is. That's what it is. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Looks like they're solving a few problems and making use of the space that is parking and making it better and improving the situation. I don't see a problem with granting variance.
Mr. Plum.
I just want to thank Ms. Woods for coming out and support. People like to come out in opposition to stuff. We like to hear when people also like to come out and speak in favor of something that's good too. So thank you, artists.
I'd like to echo that myself. Mr. Condon.
No comments.
Mr. Turner.
Nope.
Mrs. Jones.
No.
Mr. Griffith.
Just it sounds like they work well with staff, and there does seem to be a development pattern in the neighborhood that supports this, so I'm okay with it.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I'll move that we grant the petitioner's requests.
All right, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the requested variances. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the variances are approved. Next, we're going to hear 123 East 55th, relief to expand nonconforming use to establish an ADU, 25-003911.
Is Zero Crane Street next on the agenda?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Zero Crane Street, variance to reduce the minimum lot for ADU 25-003890.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. This is Sadie Eshlerant with Development Services and Current Planning, here to talk about Zero Crane Street. So the petitioner is requesting a variance to reduce the minimum lot size from 7,500 square feet to 5,565 square feet to establish an ADU on a vacant nonconforming lot in the RTF zoning district. Here is an aerial view of the vacant lot. You can see it's an interior lot. So like mentioned, the subject property is just over 5,500 square feet. It's zoned RTF, which is residential two-family, and it's a non-conforming lot of record due to its lot width and lot area. So despite it being zoned RTF, that means that only a single-family dwelling can be built on it. A duplex wouldn't be able to because there's not enough lot area for the density. So I just wanted to let you know that. So the petitioner is proposing to build a primary dwelling with a building footprint of just over 1,100 square feet and an ADU with a building footprint of 430 square feet. By right, they do not have enough lot area to establish an ADU as it requires 125% of the lot area in the district. So they are requesting a variance from the standard. So 6,000 square feet is required for the lot area, so 125% of that is 7,500 square feet. So this is considered generally consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance because it is a standard that may be varied where you, the ZBA, deems it to be appropriate. There are no other special circumstances other than the lot is non-conforming. Here is the plan for Zero Crane Street. Here would be the primary dwelling with the parking space, and then in the rear would be the ADU. So with that said, MPC staff recommends approval of the requested variance.
Thank you, Sadie. Are there any questions for staff? Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good morning. Nasser Jaber.
You have anything you'd like to say?
Just Chairman, staff, I really appreciate your time listening to this. I think the staff has done a very good job to help me work through this petition and application. We look forward to building this and adding value to the neighborhood. I think this is hopefully will be a win-win for the city and for us to build a single-family residence with an ADU on this lot.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
Go ahead, Mr. Jones. Where is Zero Crane Street?
It's adjacent to 3903 Crane Street, corner of West 55th.
Okay.
And Crane.
All right. Because that's Fowler Park neighborhood. That's why my neighborhood.
All right. Any other questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that wish to speak concerning this petition? All right. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I do not.
Mrs. Jones? Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plump?
No, sir.
Mr. Ball?
No.
Someone care to make a motion?
I motion to approve the requested variance.
All right, Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the requested variance. Mrs. Jones has seconded that motion. Is there any discussion? All right, hearing none. Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plump?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 123 East 55th. Relief to expand non-conforming use to establish an ADU, 25-003911.
Okay, so the petitioner is requesting relief to expand a non-conforming use to establish an ADU in the RSF6 zoning district. The request is being made for the development of an ADU to be used in association with a legal non-conforming duplex in a single-family zoning district. Here is an aerial map. So the subject property measures to be over just 8,800 square feet. It is zoned RSF6 with just over 73 feet of width and 120 feet of depth. It does have lane access. The two-story principal structure was built in or about 1923 with a building footprint of about 1,700 square feet. It is a duplex, which is a legal non-conforming use in the zoning district,
as recognized by the zoning administrator. The structure was built before the establishment of zoning regulations in Savannah, and the tax assessor recognizes it as a multifamily property. So just to be clear, because it's a duplex, that is what makes this a legal nonconformity, but it is it is viewed to be legal. So the petitioner is proposing to construct a two-story ADU with a building footprint of over 650 square feet. The first floor of it will have a two-car garage, and it will meet all other development standards, including setbacks and the size in relation to the principal dwelling. So if they had a single-family home here, they would be able to build the ADU by right, but because it's a legal nonconformity, they have to request relief from that to expand a legal nonconforming use. Section 3.24.8 discusses their criteria for expanding the nonconforming use of land. In terms of the analysis, the requested variance is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance because the lot already has two primary dwellings where one primary dwelling is allowed in the zoning district, which they are allowed to keep. Here is the site plan for the property. Here is the existing two-story duplex in the front and then the proposed ADU in the rear. So with that said, MPC staff recommends denial of the request on the basis that they already have two primary dwellings where one is allowed in the zoning district.
So, Sadie, aside from that fact, does it fit all of the other criteria as far as the setbacks and the footprint and the maximum allowable square footage?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? All right. Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is Michael Blakemore. My wife and I own this property, and you've been given a handout. And what this handout is intended to show is the results of a walking survey that I performed this week to see what the general composition of this neighborhood is. And I limited it to four blocks because I thought I'm just about in the middle of those four blocks, 54th to 56th and Abercorn to Beatty Street. So what I was looking at is really to understand the residential parcel distribution. There's 80 parcels that have been built on in these four blocks. 64 of those are single-family homes with garages. A lot of those garages have already been converted to living use, so I just there's still single-family in my mind. But the interesting part of this is that there are seven two-to-four-unit buildings in this neighborhood, and there are 9 two-to-four-unit residents that include a detached ADU in their yard. So if you start to look at dwelling count, unit count, you've got 64 single families, but you'll have 47 additional units for a total of 111 units across these four blocks. So it's about a 40-60 split between multifamily and single family. And what I was trying to determine here is this pattern of development, what I'm asking for, is this consistent with what I'm seeing physically in the field? And I truly believe that it is. And with the 9 units, the 9 detached ADUs, I think that exemplifies that there's several in this neighborhood. And if you go to the third page, or actually, let's go to the fourth page. It shows a picture of a home on 55th Street, and it's a lot 12, block 10. I think it's 206 East 55th. And that's the twin of my house. And you can see in this photograph the ADU that's in the backyard. And it's very, I put this in here because it's very interesting because it is the twin and it has an ADU. And my site actually has a similar concrete pad on the lane and in the same location, same side as this structure where the sunrooms are. We don't know what was on that concrete pad. We've tried to research it to see if it was just a garage. Was it a garage with something above it? We just don't know. So I'm not going to belabor this, but I do believe that our request for the ADU is consistent with the pattern of development in our four-block neighborhood. We're not asking for any additional concessions. In fact, our setbacks are 15 and 26 feet for the sides and 8 feet for the back and almost 15 feet for the building separations. We're going to add, we're going to have six off-street, total off-street parking spaces. So that's certainly a neighborhood benefit because everybody tries to park on the street. If I add an ADU, I'm increasing that requirement, but I'm also providing now six off-street. So I think that's a neighborhood benefit. I think that's all I have for today. And you can see all the statistics there in my handouts, but, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there any questions for the petitioner? All right. No members of the public wish to speak. Mrs. Wood, please come forward.
Just a question. I can't tell from the layout. Will there be curb cuts going into this that aren't there now?
I think that might be a, would staff like to address that question?
I believe it's on the lanes. There likely wouldn't be additional curb cuts because it's not paved. In the rear.
Okay. So they're proposed, you've got the structure already that they want to convert to an ADU or?
No.
Where, this is proposed on the left.
On the rear.
On the rear. Okay. Where is the main street?
So this is the main street right
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
This is the current duplex.
Uh-huh.
Here's the lane. They're proposing to put the ADU right here in the rear.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other members of the public wish to speak? I'm supposed to give you a chance, sir, to rebut public comment, but it doesn't seem there's really anything to rebut. We'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Ball, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, it seems like we've seen stuff like this before and have approved it. And, you know, in some cases, staff has recommended approval of this kind of thing. It's a large lot. That kind of comes down to they could build it, put a garage there, put a bedroom above it, and not put a stove in it, and they wouldn't have to ask us for permission. So seems like it fits fine in the neighborhood. I don't have a problem with it.
Thank you. Mr. Plump?
I agree with Brad. And there's a good email clarification from John on here as to why staff didn't recommend approval in this case compared to others, but I'm fine with approving it.
Mr. Condon?
I agree with my associates.
Mr. Turner?
No comment.
Mrs. Jones? Mr. Griffith?
I agree with everything that was said.
All right. Would someone care to make a motion?
I motion we approve the requested variance.
All right. Mr. Ball has made a motion to approve the requested variance. It's seconded by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plump?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variance is approved. And lastly, we're going to hear 3030 Barnard Street, variance to parking requirement, 25-003370.
So for 3030 Barnard Street, the petitioner is requesting a variance from the parking requirement of 24 spaces associated with the reestablishment of a restaurant in the TC1 zoning district. To get perspective of where we are, here's Barnard Street, here's a railroad track, and then here's the property. This is located in the Bingville neighborhood. The property measures to be just over 4,800 square feet. It's an irregularly shaped parcel in its own TC1. There is an existing two-story non-residential building on the parcel that was built in about 1950 and has a building footprint of just over 2,300 square feet. The building was previously utilized as a restaurant, and the petitioner is proposing to reestablish this use. Here is a snippet from a zoning confirmation letter from the zoning administrator, which discusses how when it was previously a restaurant, there was an alternative parking arrangement where the owner had owned this parcel as well as this parcel before it was subdivided, and so they were in legal conforming regarding parking over here. Since that time, the ownership has changed hands of the parcels, and then these have also been subdivided, so that parking arrangement is no longer viable. Just to give you some history on how it used to be conforming as a previous restaurant use. So the petitioner is proposing to reestablish this, and they are stating, and they want to put as many parking spaces as are feasible, but are overall requesting full relief from the parking spaces as they're not sure what they'd be able to provide. So they are requesting relief from section 9.3-1, which discusses the minimum space requirements for different uses. So for this use of a restaurant, one vehicle parking space per 100 square feet is required. So as said in the zoning confirmation letter, 24 vehicle parking spaces would be required. And this can also be shown here. I do also want to mention that besides a restaurant use, there are other permitted uses on this parcel that would not require a variance with its current zoning and lane access. Additionally, there are viable parcels in the vicinity that could be used to establish an alternative parking arrangement as there was before. So with that said, the requested variance is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. And as for the special condition, as I mentioned before, when it was a restaurant previously, there was a different parking situation, but now that has changed. The request is the result of the petitioner's chosen use. It is not required to make use of the subject property, and it is likely monetarily formed. So as there are viable parking alternatives, MPC staff does recommend denial of the requested variance. However, if the board is inclined to support the request, MPC staff recommends the petitioner seek an alternative parking plan consistent with the provisions of Section 9.3.8 of the zoning ordinance.
So, Sadie, 24 are required, and how many are proposed?
According to the petitioner, they're not sure yet. They will like to put as many as they can, but they're ultimately requesting relief from all 24.
As many as they can, that's pretty vague. I guess that's a question for the petitioner.
Yes, that'd be a good question for them.
Okay. Any questions for staff? All right. Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Oh, no. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Josh Yon here today representing Andolini's. The owner of the property is Genco Olive Oil Company for the requested relief for this parking variance. We do have with us Michael, who is the owner of the property and will also be the operator of this restaurant. And between the two of us, we are happy to answer any questions that you may have. One point of clarity regarding the zoning letter, and I want to bring this up now before I hop into the presentation. The zoning letter was talking about the prior restaurant. This building was, in fact, operated as a restaurant for many years. In fact, the building still has its hood, its kitchen equipment. All the trappings of a restaurant are still there. That zoning letter was based upon the ground floor only. When it was previously a restaurant, it was a two-story restaurant that occupied the full space. We're proposing to operate on the ground floor only. So that zoning letter is incorrect as to that prior use being conforming as to parking. That prior restaurant would have required roughly 51 spaces. Yes, there was a parking lot adjacent. That parking lot had roughly 25 spaces. That prior use was also deficient. That parking lot was a gravel lot. It was never paved. It was naturally used as parking, and yes, there is some relief to that. But to state that the restaurant that currently occupied the site was conforming as to parking, we don't believe that's the case. And so we are going from one non-conforming restaurant to trying to get another non-conforming restaurant approved here. And so as mentioned, let me see if I can make this full screen for y'all. That's not going to work there. I did want to give you some background as to the petitioner. This is their restaurant that they have had previously in Charleston. There were five different Andolini's restaurants in Charleston. It was a well-known pizzeria that many people loved in the community. They have since acquired this property in Savannah and are looking to open up the same restaurant here. We are showing the menu, started in 1992, downtown Charleston, existed for 30 years, five locations across the area, college hangout, and that will be important for what we are discussing here today. Recently placed restaurant served the community very well. And this is also to say that our owner and the property and the site will be run in a very good manner. This is not a restaurateur trying to get into their first foray and see what happens with the restaurant. This is an experienced restaurant owner who still currently owns and operates restaurants in Charleston, has operated them for 30 years. They know the site. They know exactly what they need to operate a restaurant, and has determined that this site, similar to their Charleston locations, will be a good addition to the area. As was mentioned, this application and this use today is actually a permitted use. We are located, and this is very clear, we are located within the TC1 district. And I wish I could make this full screen.
Let's see. I will zoom out for you. My apologies. Yeah, you're good. My apologies. That's going to be a little bit difficult to read. We are located in the green area. This site is zone TC1. The use for this restaurant is not in question today. Restaurants are permitted in this location by right. We do not need any special use approval. We don't need to come before any board. Restaurants are permitted in this area by right. But what we are here today is to request a parking variance to permit this restaurant in this location. And we've seen this many times before, and y'all have seen it many times before. I've been here many times before with similar requests. We have this disconnect in our city zoning ordinance where the city, as part of NUZO, has put the TC1 and TC2 zoning uses outside of the area north of Victory. Y'all see this most frequently on the Waters Avenue corridor, where the city has designated these areas for areas of growth, for areas that commercial redevelopment is encouraged. Yet these areas don't have the special privileges that are granted to every single property north of Victory. And that's going to be an important point to mention today. That, and I think when last time I was here, we were talking about this being a tale of two cities, that if this site were to be located two blocks to the north, we would not be here having this discussion today. Simply because we are south of Victory Drive, despite having the same use, despite having a similarly established location and restaurant, we must come and petition this board. And we've seen this on Waters, we've seen this in other areas. And so our use is right here. We are in green. And I wanted to highlight that, you know, while north, they do not need this special exception, this area to the south is actually probably in a better position to benefit from this reduction than these properties to the north. What I've highlighted in blue are SCAD properties. These are properties owned and operated by SCAD. We have the two West Victory dorms. We have the new site under construction. We have the Barnard Village over here. We have classrooms over here. We know that there are roughly 2,000 students in this area. This is a great location for a pizzeria and a great location to not encourage excessive parking that is not necessary. This site is walkable for the students that are already there, the students that we hope to capture for this business. SCAD also has an extensive bus route in this area. There's already pickup locations on Victory. There are already pickup locations on Barnard Street, immediately adjacent to this site. In addition to the proximity to SCAD, this site is also well served by public transportation. The number 4 is the Barnard line, which actually stops at Victory and stops just south of the site. I've highlighted the site here. We also have the 25 and the 14, which are within walking distance to this site. That's the standard CAP bus line. We also have the DOT, which seemingly is everyone's favorite bus line in the city because it's free. It also picks up on Drayton and Whitaker within walking distance of this property. This property is incredibly well served by public transportation and is well served by the actual SCAD students who we are hoping will come to this restaurant, which students don't have cars. They take the SCAD buses and they will walk to this establishment. Going back to this, what we should also mention is that this site, in addition to being zoned TC1 on the future land use map, is also shown as traditional commercial, along with this entire corridor. This area, when NUZO happened and when the comp plan was adopted, was designated specifically as an area for commercial redevelopment and for commercial growth. We are seeing growth into this area, and that growth has been welcomed and is not causing any negative problems. What I have shown to the north, and I would have gotten very tired doing this repeatedly, are properties in red that are similarly situated, if not larger, that do not provide what would be the parking required if they were south of Victory. And I think these are important examples because we all know of these examples of restaurants, of spaces around our community, that if they were located two blocks south, they would not be permitted. They would be here asking for the exact same variance that we are asking for today, and they operate without problems. And so we have Victory North, and the associated restaurant next to it provides zero parking. This is actually immediately to our south, This is also on Bull Street. This is where Cafe Tarot is located. There is parking in the rear, similar to our site, where we will have four parking spaces on site, plus moped and bicycle parking. This site would not be permitted under today's ordinance if they were have to meet their required parking. Mood Rights, again, no parking. This is Nairobi's on Habersham Street, just north of the site. No parking, functions without problem. Flora and Fauna Now, formerly back in the day bakery, functions without parking. This site actually has three restaurants in it. This is where Yukio is, Water Witch, a soon to be opened restaurant. Upstairs is now, I believe, a salon. There is minimal parking in the rear, same as we were providing, does not have any impact. Common Thread, same spot. Elizabeth's has operated for many, many years without any parking and does not cause any issues for the area. This is where Sober Mesa is. There's also a salon here, which maybe this is a common occurrence, operates without parking on site. This site is probably most pertinent to us in that it is just up the street on Bull Street. Late Air, along with the retail shops next to it, do not provide any parking. But what was interesting about them was that they would have been here for a parking variance. I was representing them at the time. The city decided that this site should be brought into the Mid-City District and that it was worthy of having Mid-City designation. So they did not have to come before you for this parking exemption that we've seen elsewhere, because they were lumped into the Mid-City District despite being approximately 500 feet from our subject area. And so we do have the site here that we are showing. So this is the property in question. Barnard Street is here. We are able to fit four spaces on site. And from the prior parking plan, we believe that those four spaces were always there. We've tried to lay it out so that you can see it here. We will maximize the green space at the front for bicycles and mopeds. So we are not trying to do this in a haphazard way. We are carefully looking at the site and seeing where we can maximize areas to increase the parking. And what is interesting about this, with the prior operations being a two-story restaurant, their square footage was roughly double what we're intending. If you take in the parking deficiency of that site versus our site, the differences between the two is roughly two spaces in terms of their deficiency versus our deficiency. And so that's kind of what we are asking for today, is relief from these standards. Should also be mentioned, we've talked about the buses, we've talked about SCAD, we've talked about the walkability of this area. This area, unlike the Mid-City District to the north, and also what we've seen on Water Street, while not necessarily the best argument to make here, it's one that is important to make, is that there is not a parking issue in this area. I will say I live 500 feet from this location, and I have not seen any parking issue. This is the site. I've been driving the site in recent days and in recent months since we had this petition. So I do want to point out that this is going down Pearl Street. Our site is over here. These are the new condos being proposed immediately adjacent. At every time I've visited the property, there has been ample street parking, even with the construction going on. This is looking north on Barnard Street, where there were zero cars in the area. I was trying to find hours of operation when, what would be the good time of day for to visit a pizzeria. And so this was taken at about 5 p.m., 5:30 p.m. on a Sunday. There was no parking issue here. As you look south down Barnard, all of the parking was open, except for the one SCAD bus, which was conveniently there waiting to pick up students at that site. I'm not seeing any cars on the street at this hour. This is looking on Abercorn Street around the corner, which is one block over. Similarly, no cars are parked on the street. I actually went out again last night to try and get a different perspective to see if anything had changed. So this was at 7:30, 7:45 last night. And again, parking was similar to what we had seen over the weekend with it not being an issue. I did want to get this shot because Late Air, the restaurant that we mentioned over here, this was 7:30 p.m. when they are in full operations. Again, there's not a lot of cars being parked in the area. I live in the area. I see the area. This is intended to be a restaurant that is used for walkability, for students. And so, like I said, we've seen this petition quite a few times before. I've been here before to ask for similar variances. We are here to request relief from the parking standard. We need to develop this site. We need to put a use in this site. This site was previously a restaurant. We are constrained by what we have to operate with now, but we do believe that this variance is warranted and that this board should grant the requested relief. And we are happy to answer any questions that you may have.
So, Mr. Yellen, you are – the required spaces are 24, and you are proposing to provide 4. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. So if I were to take it under the ordinance, we would be providing – let me go back to the screen. We are trying to put the 4 on site here.
Trying to. Are you guaranteeing there's 4, or are you
so we can't maybe going to put 4? The issue is going to be with the city, and do they deem these non-conforming spaces, or when we do the build-out, are they going to require them to not be tandem? You know, we know that from a pizzeria use, whether it's for employees or for pickup, that these will function appropriately. And so I had to put in the request this way to request the exemption, because we still have to go through a build-out and still work with the city on getting our CO. And I can't state how the city is going to determine. In the zoning letter, they said these were 4 paved spaces that previously existed. We were hoping they keep it that way. The other point to mention, where we have labeled bicycle and mopeds, if we can maximize that, we are also able to get up to a 20% reduction in the required parking. But we still need to work with city staff on figuring out where's the best location for that moped and bicycle parking spaces. So that would, it's 24 currently. 4 on site takes us down to 20. If we're able to get the 20% reduction, you know, ultimately the site is looking at a 15 parking space deficiency if everything goes according to plan.
Okay. Are there any other questions for the petitioner?
Yeah, I've got some. Go ahead. Angelini's Pizza, and this may be a question for the operator. I don't know if you know. Will they offer delivery?
Delivery?
We didn't deliver in Charleston, but.
Do they need to come forward to the mic?
When is their time to speak? You're asking okay. Mr. Yellen right now.
Sorry.
That's right.
The answer was that in Charleston they did not deliver.
What about like delivery apps? Will they, you know, utilize those for even if they're not running delivery themselves?
That they'll use. Yes, and so for pickup temporarily to have people come.
And I see they. I looked at the menu from Charleston. They have pizza by the slice. Do they do a lot of carry out, takeout orders? What I'm getting at, I'm asking. Would it be fair to say a large amount of the food that they are making will not be consumed on premises? You know, food's getting picked up, eaten at home, carry out, take out, delivery.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I would say that's a true statement. And that was part of the application here, not to distill it down to something that's too base, but this is a pizzeria near a right. college campus.
Right.
It's a lot of grab.
It's not
go.
A standard sit down restaurant.
Yes. Right. There will be seating inside, but this right. is not a come park your car and, you know, necessarily spend.
Have a nice dinner
exactly.
with your family. It's
yes,
get pizza.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I should also mention that I will state this, that we were scheduled to be at this board last month. We continued it in order to meet with the neighbors. I know that 2 of them are here. We had a meeting with the Sotils about this property. In that time as well, we have also been able to reach out to the owner of the new condominiums who are adjacent to the property. They were in support of this petition. We had also, and I know staff made this in their recommendation in terms of reaching out to property owners on alternative parking plans. We spoke to the owners at Geary Lumber. They support this petition, but they're obviously not in a position to provide us with parking. They have a barbed wire fence and goods that need to be secured. I personally reached out to Senior Citizens Inc. I emailed and called multiple times. They also just aren't comfortable with an alternative parking arrangement for this area. And I understand that with them being a nonprofit, that there are concerns about liability. We have also spoken to the owner of the vacant lot, which is on the corner of Pearl Street and Bull. We had a productive conversation there trying to figure out the intended use of that property. I personally am not necessarily in the opinion that a surface parking lot would be best in that location. But if one were to be constructed there, those conversations were ongoing. So we have been trying to find relief from the standard where we can. A lot of the issue, as y'all know, from a restaurant and from a small business standpoint, is that getting locked into a parking lease such as this, where it's okay, you must go out and get 15 spaces elsewhere. But what happens in 3 years when we have a functioning restaurant, that lease expires, and now we have to find new spaces? Or now we have to figure out what's the rent going to be for parking. We're coming in here because we think this is a good location with a good use, with good restaurants and good utilities within the vicinity that are in similar situations. And so we are trying to avoid a situation where we get through this hearing, but shoot ourselves in the foot long term. And so that was part of our reason for continuing, but also part of the reason why we are asking for the blanket request today. Not trying to be difficult, but trying to think about the long-term survivability of this restaurant.
Thank you. Any other questions for petitioner? All right, thank you, Mr. Yellen. We're going to go into public comment. Christian Sutil, would you please come forward? Or, go ahead. Yes, sir.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Valerian Sotillo.
Good morning.
I've been a property owner on Pearl Street for over 20 years. I have restored 11 townhomes directly across the subject property of 3030 Barnard Street. I have devoted my life. I am a general contractor specializing in historic preservation and restoration, and I have purchased those homes directly opposite, which were historic cottages, built in 1892 for the American troops for the Spanish-American War. They were scheduled for demolition. I purchased them and restored them with my crew for over 4 years and have maintained them all throughout this time. I have seen the neighborhood. I'm intimately familiar with it. When we had a non-conforming restaurant there, that was plenty. We do not need another one. The petitioner is aware of the parking requirements, and the law is clearly articulated. I ask you today to uphold the law and to deny the petitioner's request. I currently represent not just myself, but 9 property owners, as I own 9 homes there today. I've spoken with many of my neighbors, and they have deep, deep concerns and have written and submitted letters to staff that I hope will be presented here today. A pizza parlor with all its required parking is simply not the highest and best use for the property. We do not need another non-conforming restaurant. As a law-abiding citizen and a property owner and taxpayer, I wholeheartedly agree with the law and the staff's report to deny the petitioner's request and uphold the law. It is vital for our historic community. Deny, deny, deny. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Steele.
Good morning. My name is Christian Sotil, and I am an architect and an urban planner, preservationist, and an educator. And I've had the opportunity to work as well, along with my brother, in this neighborhood now for more than 20 years. So we do know it well and was involved personally and directly in the restoration of Pearl Street. I'm also frequently involved in redevelopment projects where we study the opportunities for a given parcel and we advise on redevelopment options. And so having looked carefully at this case and met with the MPC staff and the developer, I think it's clear and important to uphold the integrity of the law and the conclusions of the professional planners at the MPC that this request should be denied. Of the 5 tests for a variance, none of them are met, none of them. The professional staff report clearly identifies that. Number 1, this request is not consistent with the intent of the ordinance and the comprehensive plan. Number 2, this request is only the result of the petitioner's desired use. Number 3, this request is financially motivated. Number 4, the variance is not required to make use of the subject property. And number 5, this request would confer a special privilege upon the petitioner. So it is important to remember this land can, in fact, be developed for many uses. And during the due diligence before purchasing this property, this experienced out-of-town developer had every opportunity to understand what was being purchased. the city's zoning confirmation letter confirms the need for 24 spaces, and the petitioner agrees with that. It's interesting, in the application that was submitted originally, there was an early attempt to actually appeal that zoning letter, which was then later retracted on June 27th. It was literally crossed out of the application. So although it has been stated that a restaurant was a former use here, which had been defunct, and the building was in fact vacant for almost 10 years, it was a private club, a membership club. And, you know, of course we experienced it during that time, and they used the entire parcel that was part of that, that property at that time. At the time of the subdivision of the townhomes, there was no active use in the building. So, as a derelict property, it is clearly an opportunity for redevelopment, and there are many good options under the current zoning to use this property. They know they need parking. The standards are clearly articulated, and options exist. 9.8.3, as you know, provides a variety of options for remote parking, shared parking, or valet parking. So thank you for your time this morning. They need to have this request denied so that they can pursue alternative parking arrangements or consider the many other viable redevelopment options for this parcel. In closing, we fully agree with the professional staff report recommending denial of this petition. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Steele. Would the petitioner like to rebut public comment? First off, is there, Sally, this is it? Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Yellen.
Yes, sir. As to the due diligence and knowing what we get with this property, we are simply asking to be treated the same as every other applicant that comes before you. We know the site constraints. We know the condition that it's in. We know that there is a use of the property that could be in there. Is it the highest and best used? No, it's not. What's particularly concerning for me as we come before with this variance is that when the Sotils developed their property, they needed 22 variances to do that, as shown here. To do their subdivision in 2006, they had a reasonable use of the property under its prior zoning as residential. They also came before this board to ask for 22 separate variances, from a lot width variance, from a square foot lot area variance, so that they could subdivide this site to put it to the use that they thought was the highest and best for this area, being residential property on single lot lines. We're coming in with a similar request. We know that there's uses that are available, but we want to do the use that we are asking for, which is a restaurant. We know we need a variance for that use, just as they needed a variance in 2006 for their use. We're trying to be put in a similar situation. We understand the ordinance, and part of the ordinance is that we can come in here and request relief from that ordinance. Here we have a building. We have an existing building that was built out as a restaurant. We want to keep using it as a restaurant. Under the prior use, whether it was a restaurant or a nightclub, it was nonconforming. We know that we need relief from this ordinance, and we are unfortunately in the position of coming in where the city zoning designation has this site being as traditional commercial. The comp plan has this site as being traditional commercial. To put in a commercial use into this building is going to require a variance regardless of the use. And so to say we're not meeting the criteria for a variance, I find that to be untrue. To keep this property in conformance with the comp plans and with the ordinance that it currently has, we are trying to put it to its best use in keeping with those plans and the prior studies that have been done. We've seen this variance many times before for other restaurants. Those other facilities across town, they have come in, they have had no detriment to the areas surrounding them. Just like the restaurants on Waters, just like the areas on East Side, just to the north in the mid-city, we're trying to get the same relief so that we can bring a small business here to take advantage of what we know is the community surrounding it that will be walking and utilizing this facility. And so once again, we are respectfully requesting that you approve of our request for the parking variance for this site. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Yellen. No more public comment this time. We're going to enter into board discussion, and I'd like to start it out. The picture that they show, in particular, the ones from the Starland area and Bull Street and the one with the old Carpenters Union, I think the Water Witch is underneath it. that area is off the chain with the parking. It's horrible. If you've ever, I tried to get a hamburger last night and I had to park illegally in the alley to go get it. It's terrible all of the time. And furthermore, the old David's supermarket where they've now got brochures and some other stuff and all those businesses, they had a parking lot when those people first opened all of that. And they've worked around that. They've made that parking lot paid spaces. So now unless you pay for one, you've got to go out of there, and find one on the street or find somewhere to park that you're not going to get towed. So that area is not working like it is. All right. And we treat each one of these cases individually on an individual basis as a brand new case. It's not necessarily we set a precedent by each one. And then my other comment was that, you know, the ordinance has changed in 20 years. The city has changed in 20 years and the whole area has changed. So what was 20 years ago is not today. That being said, Mr. Griffith, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
I do not.
Mrs. Jones? Go ahead.
No.
Oh. Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
Yes, sir. I completely understand your position in that particular area, and probably that wasn't a good example, because in that particular area, you've got a number of restaurants, and so it is possible that you're going to go there and not find a parking space easily or having to park in one of the neighborhoods or what have you. This, though, is different and somewhat unique in the sense that there is literally nothing near it other than some residential properties that are relatively new and the existing restored homes that are across the street. But as you get down Barnard Street, you know, I'm familiar because Gary Lumber is right there. And I suspect that there are 20 or 30 available parking spaces on Barnard Street from Gary Lumber all the way down to SCAD that are available for people to use if they're going there. Now, this is a pizza place. If this was a restaurant where we were going to put 20, 30 people in there, or it was a bar or this type of thing, it's a pizza place that's designed to accommodate the 2,000 students that reside in that neighborhood. And so I think it's, you know, your point is well taken. But as we, you know, look at these things on an individual basis, this is far enough out that I feel like that there's enough on-street parking to accommodate a restaurant like this that, you know, is basically a college pizza place. That's my comment.
All right, Mr. Plunk.
Yeah, I'd like to slightly push back on our esteemed leader just because my experience is different. A lot of those places that he showed on there, Mood Rights, Over Yonder, Sober Mesa, Late Air, I'm not going to say I can be found there nightly, but some of my colleagues can say I can be found at all of those locations on a pretty regular, occasionally might be a good word for it. And I never have much problem, but a lot of time I walk. I live on Broad Street. I'm kind of in the general area where one might be expected to walk over to these locations. And what I'm consuming there, it's not pizza, but it's something that would be easy, that I would rather not have a car while I'm there. Well, sandwich, I'm drinking. So I don't want to drive. So it's aimed at a, you know, it has a specific aim and it's someone that maybe will not use a car, just like a pizza place aimed at a college student. You know, they're not coming there with a car. Occasionally I will drive and maybe I circle the block, but a lot of times I don't have problems. You know, I drive to Late Air. I drive to Sober Mesa. I don't have an issue parking there. So I just want to put my two cents as I have a different experience as yours and maybe we're going at different times. That's fine. I agree with Michael that, you know, as you saw from some of the questions I was asking, this is a place where I think college kids are going to be walking up on foot, ordering a slice, walking out. A lot of people may be ordering, you know, from Uber Eats or something where they're there for 30 seconds, get their pizza, they go. I suspect that's going to be the case. So that's where I'm at on the issue. I'm now, is it 24? You know, is there maybe a meet in the middle here somewhere where, you know, maybe I think they said if everything goes according to the plan, maybe they only need 15. You know, if people are on the fence here about the issue, I'd like to hear from some other folks Are people not comfortable with 24? Would they be comfortable with 15? I think maybe Michael and I are comfortable with the whole 24, but how do other folks feel about that?
Mr. Ball, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I would agree. It seems like the remedy would be off-site parking, and there's so much street parking, it's unlikely to even be used. So, yeah, I hate to disagree with folks that have been in the neighborhood a long time and have done a great job with it, but it seems like this would be a modest-sized restaurant with, you know, the parking impact wouldn't be that extensive, if any.
All right. If there's any, no more board comment, would someone care to make a motion?
I motion to grant petitioner's request.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the request for a variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion? All right. Hearing none. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones? Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and variance is approved. There are no other items on the agenda, so we are adjourned.